kiss my heart's desire.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Hydesville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, and FM 94.7.
Today on Through the Bible, we continue our tour of Nehemiah around the walls of Jerusalem, beginning at gate number 8, also known as the Water Gate. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another meaningful study in God's Word. Our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and we'll start in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28 soon. But first, let's take a minute to catch up with our fellow listeners in the Middle East and North Africa. Lana, a listener of our Arabic broadcast, can't tell us where she lives, and that's for her safety, but she did send this update. I really can't explain how I felt when I listened to your message. I was amused that your words hit the target. I'm in so much pain and going through a tough time. It is not only because of the unrest in my country, but also on a personal level. I've been depressed and frustrated lately. The biblical words and your prayers came in time to help me regain my faith that the Lord is near and that He will never forsake me because I'm His own. Please continue to pray for me. And then here's a letter. This is from a sister who listens to our Persian program in Iran. I have listened to your program since 2013. My husband and I lead a house church, and we regularly have about 28 who attend. We have a lot of problems and pressure from the government and radical Muslims. Recently, about 3 other churches we know of were under police attack, and their leaders have been arrested and now are in jail. Please pray for their freedom and that the Lord's hand of protection will be upon us. And then our last letter comes from a listener of our Turkish broadcasts. On my 24th birthday, I found out that my father died in a traffic accident when I was a baby and my mother put me up for adoption. I didn't know that the family who raised me were not my biological kin. At first, I was shocked and desperate, but soon I began to look for a biological sister that lives in another country. When we finally connected, her Turkish was not good, but we have found ways to communicate. I was surprised to find that she is a Christian. But slowly we began to talk about everything, including Jesus. That's when she introduced me to your program. Over the last year, I haven't missed a broadcast, and I have given my life to the Lord. As I learn to rely more on Him, I feel a strange freedom in my heart. It's as if all my troubles have become easier to handle. Thank you. Well, praise God. Praise God that His Word is reaching listeners like these in the Middle East and North Africa. You know, if you'd like to join our world prayer team as we pray that God's whole Word will reach His whole world, would you sign up today by going to ttb.org/pray? You'll be glad you did. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, thank You for how clearly we can see Jesus in the book of Nehemiah. As we study today, Lord, please help us to tune our hearts to hear Your Spirit in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Nehemiah 3 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, we've been going around the walls of Jerusalem and going through the gates, as it were, in and out of the gates we've been going. There were 10 of those walls, and we're down now to verse 28, and this is the 8th gate that we've mentioned. Now, last time we mentioned the water gate, and the water gate speaks of the Word of God. It's a very important gate, as we saw, and it is the gate of the Word of God, as we've seen spoken of as water. The Lord Jesus, you remember, said something about that you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you, and that the Word of God is a cleansing agency. And the psalmist asked the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to get clean? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy Word. Now, the startling thing about that water gate was this. It was not repaired. Apparently, when the other gates and walls were torn down, why, this gate remained intact. And that's unusual. It did not need any repairs at all. Does that tell you anything? Well, the Word of God, friends, doesn't need any repairs made on it. There's so many people today that always want to try to prove the Bible is the Word of God. And of course, there are those trying to prove the Bible is not the Word of God. When I began in the ministry, my ministry was that type. It was an apologetic ministry trying to prove the Bible's the Word of God. But actually, I learned that you don't need to prove it. You just give it out, and the Spirit of God takes care of it. And I've already come to the conclusion, and a definite dogmatic conclusion, that it is the Word of God. I don't think it is. I know it is. And I know what it'll do for you today. I've discovered that also. And therefore, it doesn't need my weak support. It'll take care of itself. It's like the late Dr. Bob Schuller here in downtown Los Angeles. When I first went down there as pastor, he was still pastor of the Trinity Methodist Church. And Dr. Schuller said to me one day, he says, you know, you don't need to defend the Word of God. It'll take care of itself. It says it's like having a lion in your backyard in a cage. Now, he says, you don't need to get guards to protect the lion from the pussycats in the neighborhood. He said, you just open the door, and the lion will take care of himself. And he'll also take care of the pussycats, too. And the Word of God's like that today. It needs to be given out. It doesn't need any repair, not my weak repair. And all that the Lord asks me to do is to give it out. And we're tempting to give out the Word of God on that basis. Now we come today to the horse gate. And we're told in verse 28, from above the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone over against his house. Now what is the horse gate speak of? Well, the horse was that which was ridden by a warrior. I wonder if you've ever noticed that in Scripture, that in Zechariah and Revelation, these symbolic horses are powers making war. There's the riding of the red horse of war. It speaks of that. Now, the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey. Now, that was the animal that kings rode on. And he wasn't meek because he rode on that animal. We think of it as being a meek, humble little animal today, but actually, kings rode on it in that day, especially if they were coming in peace. They only rode on a horse in time of war, and the horse is a symbol of that. Now, this speaks of the soldier service of the believer today. You will recall, Paul says to us, we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus in Ephesians. That's the great truth in the first part. But when you come to the second part of Ephesians, we're told you to walk worthy of this high calling wherewith you're called. So you got your head up in the heavenlies, but your feet are down here on the ground, and you're to walk. And not only that, it's in that section in the sixth chapter of Ephesians where it says, put on the whole armor of God. There's a battle to be fought, and there's a real battle to be fought, a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual forces. And today, though there is this movement, spiritual movement, interest in the Word of God, there are a great many adversaries. Very candidly, another verse that we are using a great deal today is Paul's verse to the Corinthians when he was in Ephesus. He says, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, we found that on radio. We've never had such an open door as we've had on radio. And friends, I never realized that certain folk were my enemies till I began to give out the Word of God. And it's amazing that you'll be attacked today by certain men that ought to support the Word of God. They claim to be Christian, and you would think if they didn't have anything good to say, they wouldn't have anything bad to say. But they've been very critical of this radio ministry. May I say to you that there are many adversaries, and we need to put on the whole armor of God. And we're told to take the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God, and that's the only instrument we want to use today. But also, Paul said to a young preacher in 2 Timothy 2:3, he said to him, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, that speaks of the fact that you and I today, my friend, are going to have battles to fight as believers. And if you are not in a battle, my friend, apparently you're not standing for the Lord, because I tell you, the battle is waxing hot in many places. And if you take a stand for the Lord, somebody's going to try to cut you down. But we're to do that today, and many of God's believers are having a real struggle. Now we come to the next gate, and it's the east gate. And here is a gate that fills us with anticipation and excitement. And here we're told in verse 29, after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shimei, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Now, the east gate was a very interesting gate in that day. It was the first one that was opened in the morning. This may sound like a rather naive statement and one that's self-evident, but the east gate was in the east. It was on the east side of the city. Now, the east gate in Jerusalem is sealed up today. A great many seem to think that's the gate that the Lord Jesus will come through. He may do it, I do not know, but Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says he's coming through the golden gate. Now, the golden gate is in the temple, not in the wall of the city. But that east gate has been sealed up. But it was the first gate that was opened of a morning. And why? Because that's where the sun came up. And all during the night, the watchman was on the wall, walking up and down, peering out into the horizon. But early in the morning, he came around to the east gate, and he's watching the horizon. And maybe in the city, there are people that were disturbed that night. There may be an enemy out there in the darkness, and they can't sleep, and they're out pacing up and down. Finally, one of them looks up and says, "Watchman, what of the night? Isn't this thing ever going to end?" And the watchman says, "Well, still dark out there, but the morning coming." And then after a while, there's that glimmer of light in the eastern horizon. And he moves there and begins to watch. And then he gives the signal. He says, "It's light out here, and I can see out here, and there's no enemy, and the sun is coming up." What a sigh of relief goes up from that city. Now, friends, today, the believers ought to be gathered at the east gate, because there's a glimmer of light today on the horizon, and the sun may be coming up before long. But before the sun comes up, the bright and morning star appears. Why? Why, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, friends, that's the rapture. And when it says caught up, one of the other synonyms for caught up is rapture. And that's a good Bible word. When anybody says today that the Bible does not teach the rapture, they're just arguing semantics. And I don't care to argue semantics. I like to argue Scripture. The Scripture says he's going to take his own out of the world before the sun comes up. So there's the little glimmer of light today. I have no dates to give. Unfortunately, there are men today that are trying to say between now and 2000 A.D. he'll come. Now, I'd like to know where they get that, because they must have a private wire into heaven that I don't have access to. And I'd like to get on the line if there's a line to get on. I don't think there's a line to get on, my friend. But I do believe that our Lord is coming, and that the next event is the rapture of the church. And we ought to be gathered at the east gate, because, my friends, in this day, when it's so dark out there, it's nice to know there's a little glimmer of light and we have a hope. Now we come to the next gate. Well, let me read verse 30, because I think this is interesting. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalep, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. Now, that's a good exercise in pronunciation. I didn't need it, but I did it. But the reason I read that is because this man, Meshulam, whoever he was, the Lord knows him and recorded it here, all he did is just repair right over against his chamber where he lived. And friends, you may not be able to witness to the world. You may not be able to even reach your neighborhood, but you can sure reach your family. You can give the word to your family. Wonderful today to have a saved family. But your responsibility is to get the word to them. Not, as a man said to me, says, I feel I should get them saved. And I said, I disagree with you. Your business is to get the word of God to them, the gospel. Then they make the decision. It's between them and the Lord then. But your responsibility is to get the word of God to them. So that this fella, he just repaired over against his chamber. And that was all God, I think, asked him to do. Now we're told here, the next gate, after him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims, and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. Now what is the gate Mifkad? Well, Mifkad means review or registry. When a stranger came to Jerusalem, he had to have a visa. Well, not like we have it today, because they didn't need that. But he was stopped at the gate for purposes of registry. It was a gate of review also. And not only when a stranger came in, but when the army had been out and fought a battle and returned, why, it was through this gate that they came. Here's where David reviewed his soldiers coming from the battle, how he loved them and how they loved him. And most of them would have gladly laid down their lives for him. And when they came under the arch, he was there to thank his battle-scarred men for their unselfish loyalty and daring. You know, we're told today that at the time of the rapture, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And some people say, oh, that's going to be wonderful. Well, it is. But did you know that there's something going to take place there that ought to make some of us begin to examine our lives just a little bit more carefully? Because we're told very definitely that all of us are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:10, from we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not the great white throne. It's a judgment seat of Christ where believers come. Why? Well, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. This is for purposes of reward. Salvation's not in question. You wouldn't be there if you weren't saved. And it's according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And Paul says, on the basis of that, knowing therefore the fear or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul says, I want to keep busy because I'm going to have to turn in a report whether I'm working 8 hours a day, whether I'm giving the Lord 60 seconds out of every minute, 60 minutes in every hour, and 24 hours every day, and 7 days a week. Now, under law, they only gave one day, but the Lord says, I want you, and I don't care what you do, whether it's to wash dishes or dig a ditch. Someone has said you can dig a ditch so straight and true that even God can look it through. And he's going to look it through someday, friend. Going to see how you live down here. And that's the gate Mifkad. I can see many a battle-scarred soldier. David knew him, knew what he did. He calls him out of the ranks and he said, I have a reward here for you. And there's going to be many an unknown Christian that'll be called out. And that day you and I don't know about, we think of the folk we hear about today. We think of the preachers, the missionaries, the officers of the church, Sunday school teachers. Now, I think they're going to get a reward, but I think also that probably the greatest rewards are going to go to some of these unknown saints that live for God in this day. This is a wonderful gate to come to, Mifkad. Now, we've been through 10 gates. And now notice verse 32. and between the going up of the corner under the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Now we're back at the sheep gate. Now we know we've been all the way around the walls of Jerusalem because we're right back where we started. And friends, we begin with the cross of Christ and we stop with the cross of Christ. That's the thing that is important. It's the cross of Christ. The sheep gate speaks of the cross of Christ. And I want us, as we close today, to stand here at the sheep gate. And I'd like to tell you a little story about the late Dr. Mackay, the great preacher who was holding meetings. I guess it was in London. And one night after the service, a young man came and spoke to him. And he said to him, he said, "Dr. Mackay," he said, "I'd like to speak to you a moment." Dr. Mackay says, "Well, I'm taking this train down here, goes back into London where I'm staying, and you walk down with me to the train." And on the way, as they walked, the young man said to him, "Well, what you say about trusting Christ isn't clear to me. I've listened to you very carefully." And then Dr. Mackay went over it again as they walked down the plan of salvation. And the young man says, "I'm sorry, but I cannot seem to feel that I understand savingly. Doesn't seem to get through." Well, the great preacher, he heard his train coming. He said to the young man, "Do you have a Bible?" The young man said, "No, I don't." Well, he says, "Here's my Bible. Take it and turn to Isaiah 53:6 and read that. When you read the first all, you bend down low and you go in right there. Then when you come out at the last all, stand up straight and you'll come out right." And so the young man took his Bible and Dr. Mackay rushed down to get on his train. The young man stood there holding the Bible, little puzzled. He moved over under a street light. He turned to Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so the young man, he said, "What did he say do?" He says, "At that first all, bend down low. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." The young man says, "That sure is a picture of me." And he says, "But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the young man stood there puzzled. "Oh," he said, "I'm to stand up straight and come out." And he said then, "I'm to trust Christ. I see it now. All my sin was put on Jesus, and the Lord has laid on him my sin. Now I can stand up straight. He's forgiven me." So the next night, Dr. Mackay got there early, and he went up and sat on a platform, kept looking for that young man. Service started, and he hadn't come in, and that young man had his Bible. And after all, Dr. Mackay wasn't about to depart with that Bible. And so he waited, and finally he saw the young man come in. And Dr. Mackay went down to meet him and to get his Bible. And he said, "Young man, did you do what I said?" The lad said to him, he says, "Yes, I did." "Well," he said, "what happened?" "Well," he said, "I did what you said. I came to that first all in Isaiah 53:6, and it fitted me. And then I came out standing up straight, because you told me to bend down at the first one. And I stood up straight and come out at the last off." And Dr. Mackay said, "Then what happened?" The young man says, "Well, I know now that Jesus is my Savior, and I've trusted him." My friend, we begin at the sheep gate, and we come out at the sheep gate. And I think throughout eternity, we're going to talk about the sheep gate, where the Lord Jesus died down here 1900 years on Golgotha, the place of a skull for your sins and mine. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, my beloved.
As Dr. McGee said, we began with the sheep gate last week, and now we end at the sheep gate as the clear reminder that the Christian life begins and ends in Jesus. If you'd like to know more about the forgiveness that God offers us through His Son, please visit our website at ttb.org and click on How Can I Know God? There you'll find several free digital booklets and audio messages by Dr. McGee that'll further explain the importance of the cross of Jesus and what it means for you and for me. or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'd be happy to send you a few of those resources by mail. Our next study begins in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. So let's all take some time today to read ahead and prepare our hearts for what's in store. You'll find a copy of our reading schedule at ttb.org under the Resources tab, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask to be put on the ministry newsletter mailing list. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us at Through the Bible, we're thanking God that His great grace, wisdom, and mercy goes with you as you walk with Him today.
Jesus made it home. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
WBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. Hallelujah. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study is at 7:30 p.m. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. That number is 732-434-2231. Our church service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. And that's every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ once again for his grace and mercy and his love, everything that he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in him and everything that he has done. We take no credit for anything, because there's nothing that we can take credit for. He was the one that endured the cross and despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we give him all of the praise. We thank him for what he has done. He is our healer and our deliverer. He is our Lord and Savior. And we thank him for everything. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal God, that he will touch the hearts of many that have tuned into this broadcast, that they would lay aside all religion and every self-effort and things that they are trying to do to please God, that they will just humble themselves under the mighty hands of God, believe what the Word of God says, and let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. Father, we thank you and praise you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would touch the radio listeners out there, that their hearts would be changed, that they would look to you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. They will give you all of the praise and honor and glory. We thank you for that right now, in the wonderful, matchless, magnificent, and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, this morning we want to look at the Word of God in Romans, the 6th chapter. And we're talking about the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and everything that he has done. We need to understand that Christ has done it all. It is a finished work. It's not a work that requires additional help. It's finished. Jesus said that when he prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John, his priestly prayer to the Father, he also said it at the cross, it is finished. So if it is finished, there's nothing that we can add to what he has done but to receive, believe, and glorify him. So in Romans, the 6th chapter, Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Rome there, and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, the whole important thing here is that the sin nature grabs all of us when we try and do things on our own. And many people today don't realize that. I'm speaking of people that in the church born again, as well as those that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sin nature that operates in us. The ones that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the sin nature has been deplugged, so to speak. In other words, it's not active or in operation in our lives. So the whole idea is that's what causes us to continue to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. It's a sin nature. Many people don't talk about that sin nature, but it's there. Once you become born again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that operates in us through him, that nature has been deplugged. In other words, it does not have any dominant effect on our lives. But the moment we try to do things in of ourselves, then that nature becomes revived again, and it have us to do things that are contrary to the word of God. Many people today feel that the sin nature has been eradicated, but it has not. You can see that in people that fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that very nature comes back and take complete control of them. But that we as children of God, as long as we are keeping our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up, glorifying him and focusing on what he has done, letting Jesus be the object of our faith, and everything that we desire or need, receiving it from what he has done on Calvary's cross, that nature remains dormant, deplugged, but it cannot come and take control of our lives. So Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Rome there. He's saying to them, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, we know that grace is more powerful than sin, but grace is not a license for any believer to continue to sin. And this is what Paul is saying. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer in it? You can't do it. You're dead to sin. Sin is not dead, but you as a child of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead to sin. Now that's a very important point there, because you're dead to it. You're dead to sin, although sin still exists. So he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer in it? And we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore we are dead to sin, to that sin nature. Praise God. And Mr. Glory, you know, we all, once we realize our position in Christ Jesus, we know that we are dead to the sin nature. Although the sin nature is still
dormant.
It's still lying dormant in our lives. It has not been destroyed or eradicated.
Right.
What is happening is that we no longer honor or do anything according to that nature. We are in Christ.
Yes.
And that's the most important thing there. Do you want to read that second verse there? Praise God.
The third verse or second? I'll say, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
You cannot live in, if you're dead to that sin nature, you cannot live any longer in it. And we have to realize our position in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing here, because what happens is a lot of people feel, well, once they get saved, then they can start doing things on their own instead of receiving the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wonder what's preached in a lot of places, because you hear a lot of things over the radio in terms of external strength, ability that's coming from a person that's believing or confessing Christ. Well, you cannot do it. It's simply clear that you cannot do it, that the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything.
Amen.
I mean everything, and our faith is in him. He is the object of our faith, and when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done, then the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, will give us strength to carry out whatever it is that we desire to do. Because the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit points you to Calvary. A lot of folks don't realize that, but the Holy Spirit points you to Calvary. Praise God. He glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we must realize our position as a child of God. This is why when a person that's unregenerated, when he comes and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he is accepting the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. whether he realizes it or not. And I know through further teaching, he will come to that revelation that it was the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are in him as a born-again believer. And I know most of the time these messages are going out to people that are supposedly already born again. But I want to tell you something. Even those that are born again, we must understand where the object of our faith is. It's not in my ability or what I'm able to do. It's in Christ. Christ Jesus. And everything that he has done for us. Praise God. Because the moment that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Holy Spirit placed me in the body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is why we understand our position as a child of God. Many people today, they feel that through their external ability that they can continue to do the things to try and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Jesus and everything that he has done for us. I cannot overemphasize that, but I just want to make a point here that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will free you of all the frustration and the things that you are trying to do in your own strength. I tell you, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. It will never take place. Now, I want to say something here before we get into the third verse there, is that the Holy Spirit points us to Calvary. That's what he does. He is the one that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has done. And many people don't realize this, that it is about Jesus. It's not about me and my ability to what I can do in the natural or in the physical man. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to say that the disciplines that one have in terms of, well, we want to pray. Yes, praying is something that we should do, and fasting is something that we should do. And reading the word of God is what we should do. But I'm speaking of victorious living. I'm speaking of living by victory. And it's not by my strength or ability. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am in him. And he is in me. Praise God. Minister Glory, you want to read that third verse there? Because positionally speaking, we must know where we are. And a lot of folks don't really know where they are. They know that they're in a building, and they think that, well, I'm in Christ because I'm in the building. But let me tell you something. You can be in the building and not be in Christ. To be in Christ is to accept everything that Christ has done. And he's done it all at the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Minister Glory.
It says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized unto his death?
Well, the whole thing is that this is very powerful. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Amen.
See, you were baptized into Jesus Christ. You weren't baptized into no water there, and that's not what Paul is explaining to the church of Rome. You were baptized into Jesus Christ, into a person. That is Jesus. If you were baptized in him, you were baptized into his death. And he's not talking about no water baptism.
No.
A lot of people say, I was baptized into water. No, he says that you were baptized into Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can get baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot just walk and get into Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual body. It's not a natural body. It's a spiritual organism. Praise God. And the only way you can get in there is through the baptism by the Holy Spirit. He places you into the body of Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
And Minister Glory, you know that the Holy Spirit does this work. Yes. And what happened in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Apostle Paul was even telling the church of Corinth that for by one Spirit,
yes,
are we all baptized into one body.
Yes.
Whether we be Jew or Greek, bond or free, and we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit places you in the body. I need a lot of people out there in Radio Land to know that. Because you're going to church doesn't mean that you're in the body of Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there? The Holy Spirit places you in the body. That's the only way that you get into the body of Christ, is through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You open up your mind and your heart and you say, yes, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Well, that's wonderful. But how do you get into the body of Christ? And this is what I'm talking about, the body of Christ. It tells us that the Holy Spirit places us into the body. This is why in the third verse he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. He never said receive. He said we're baptized into Jesus Christ. You were baptized unto his death. Praise God. Minister Glory, continue to read that, please.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
That is powerful.
Yes, it is.
That is very powerful. We are to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
We've experienced that transition. The Holy Spirit placed us through our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit places us into the body,
yes,
of Christ.
Praise God.
The body of Christ. I want to say that for a third time. The body of Christ. In other words, we're in the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, Minister Glory, that's why Apostle Paul was explaining, not only in this epistle here, but the Church of Rome, mm-hmm, but also the Corinthians, mm-hmm, because he was telling them in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm, you know, he was speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's
praise
right.
God. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of time people are saying a lot of things and they're telling you about their experiences and they're going through all kinds of things, but if the gospel is preached, these are the components of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. Minister Glory, would you read the 1 Corinthians 15 and start at the first verse there, 15:1, because this is the gospel. And listen to what the word says here. Don't take my word for it. Find it in the scriptures. And believe and ask the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the revelatory insight, the spiritual understanding. I remember in Ephesians 1, praise God, Apostle Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you, first of all, wisdom, then revelation, and then spiritual knowledge. So pray to the Holy Spirit. He'll do that for you if you're born again. Glory to God. So, Minister Glory, would you read the 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 through...
It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
Okay, wait a minute. He said, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel. Now, we have to find out what the gospel is. There's a lot of things that are being preached today that's not the gospel. It's man's preferences. It's what man wants and what he's trying to tell you. But when the gospel is preached or taught, lives will be changed and folks will be saved and the healing power of Jesus Christ would be demonstrated in their lives, the one who received this gospel. Now listen very carefully as Minister Glory read this, because the scriptures speaks for itself. We're not adding anything. All we're doing is echoing what God has said in his word.
which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand.
Uh-huh. Praise God.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
Now listen to what he's talking about salvation. He's saying, unless you receive, you're saved. Mm-hmm. Read that again, Minister.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
Glory to God. Glory to God. He's saying, if you believe this, then he says that you're saved.
Amen. Praise God.
I wonder how many people out there that's floating around in the different fellowships there that are not saved because they don't believe in the gospel. I tell you, in Romans 1 and verse 16, Apostle Paul also was telling the church there that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of anything or anybody else. It's for the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Amen. The gospel. The gospel of Christ. This is what has to be preached. This is what has to be taught. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, he's telling, well, if you believe and receive this, you're saved. Mm-hmm. You're saved. Praise God. I wonder how many people that are really saved in these churches. You want to finish reading?
It says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Okay, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now look at this trip, this information that he's given us. How Christ died according to our sins. How Christ died according to our sins according to the scriptures.
Amen.
And what else, man?
That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
That is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. How can we go wrong? But Paul says if you believe this and receive it, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just want to let you know that the gospel must be preached. And in Romans the 6th chapter, I'm back there, Romans the 6th chapter, the scripture is telling us in the 3rd verse, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Isn't that what it says?
That's what it says.
You want to finish it?
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death.
Amen.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
That is the only way that we can walk in the newness of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. We must receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. So much is being preached today, and I'm not on the air here to try and preach against any fellowship or whatever it is, because the Word of God tells us that you're not to judge anybody. The Bible tells us in Romans 14 and verse 12 that do not judge anyone, so to speak, he says. Praise God. Isn't that right? The minister said, yes, Romans 14 and verse 12.
14.
Praise God. Is that, if my memory serves me correctly, what does it say there then?
Oh, no. And so then every one of us should give an account.
Give an account unto God. So let no man, don't judge anybody.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block,
yes,
or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
So what we do is that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and let God handle the consequences, because he's the judge. Amen. He is the judge. We're not the judge. So every one of us has to give an account of ourselves unto him. So we leave it in that hand there, praise God, in the hands of God. We don't judge anyone. So praise God. We get back to the Romans, the 6th chapter here.
Right. And then in 5, Romans 6 and 5, it says, For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death,
yes,
we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Praise God. Well, then his resurrection is our resurrection.
Glory
because
to God.
If we are planted in the likeness of his resurrection, we'll be, his resurrection is our resurrection.
That's right.
Praise God. Amen. And we must understand and keep in mind what the scriptures are saying. Don't take my word for it at all. You take the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he's telling them. Now, in the sixth verse here, this is very powerful because we must realize something about we're in Christ. What does it say there in the sixth verse here, Romans 6, there in verse 6?
It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
So knowing this, that means that it's a continuation of knowing that our old man has been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to tell you today that we thank the Lord for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and everything that the Lord has done for us. Before we close out the broadcast, I want to just extend an invitation to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that have tuned into the broadcast, whether it's by accident or otherwise. And even to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, walk in this gospel, not in self-effort or perhaps your own ability trying to serve God.
Remember, faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast. We pray that next week, by the grace of God, that you will likewise follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit to tune into this wonderful broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.
Get that camera on them.